listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim, here with Amanda. We're here to celebrate and honor these great leaders in site selection. Amanda, you had a conversation with one of them. Tell us about it.
Thank you, Tim. My conversation was with Jubal Smith. He is the Executive Vice President in the Business and Economic Incentives Practice of Jones Lang LaSalle. He has 16 years of experience in state and local economic development, incentives negotiation, site selection, you name it. So prior to his role at Jones Lang LaSalle, he was a senior manager with Ernst & Young, and he's also a certified economic developer, a member of the International Economic Development Council, and he's an instructor for the Mid-South Economic Development course at the University of Arkansas. So he's got tons of experience. He's offering great insight. He is one of North America's top 50 site consultants. And as soon as you listen to this conversation, you will hear why.
Hi, Jubal. Thank you so much for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's top 50 site consultants. And welcome to our podcast.
Well, Amanda, it's good to be here. Thanks for including me as part of your podcast.
Of course, we are excited to hear from you. And so what we like to do to kick off the conversation is just ask this famous question. What are three things that everyone who's listening today should know about you?
So number one, I served before becoming a consultant. I was on the economic development side of the fence. And so I'm very familiar with the everyday items that local and state economic development groups think about, go through in their everyday tasks of performing economic development duties. So I served at both the state level economic development, the local level, and even a large electric utility. So that's number one. Number two, I enjoy everything about geography. I enjoy everything about economic geography, physical geography, agriculture geography, you name it. Give me a map and I enjoy it. And third, I enjoy reading anything history. So I read a lot of history books and enjoy everything about history for the most part.
Fantastic. Well, that's good context to know about you before we really dive in. Looking at what I know about you, you've had some really big experience with some of the top organizations in both economic development, some of the top locations in the country, and then also some of the top organizations around site selection. So tell us a little bit about your career and how you got into the site selection field.
Yeah, good question. So I was serving as economic development director for the city of Austin, Texas, a very dynamic city, and had a lot going on when I was there. We had some really good success. And as I met with many of the companies that were coming through Austin, either seeking to expand or relocate to Austin, most of those companies had some sort of consultant representative on their side of the table. And frankly, many of those consultants, I felt, really didn't do a good job. Just didn't represent the client like I would have. They didn't approach the city and the state like I knew they should have. And so I just sat there and said, you know, I would like to attempt that and join the consulting side. And it had appealed to me. And so I did that. I jumped the fence and joined the consulting side to represent companies around the country and around the world and have never looked back. So that's how I got involved.
Yeah, that's very interesting background. And of course, it's cool to see that as you were nominated for this top 50 award, obviously your peers and those in economic development respect how you've handled your approach to site selection. So congratulations to that. It's great to be speaking with you. One of the things that I know our listeners would love to hear about is, do you have an inside secret that you've learned over the years that you really lean on when you're assessing a community?
Absolutely. You know, my first real foray into economic development was working for, as I mentioned, that large electric utility, Entergy Arkansas. I was based in Little Rock. You know, as we worked in many communities throughout the state, I quickly learned that if you wanted to find out the values of any community before you ever step foot in that community, you just check out the local newspaper prior to visiting that town. Now, you know, when I started out, all the newspapers were not on the internet at that time. So now it is much, much easier to take a deep dive on that community. And so the inside secret is that I will look at the business journal or the local newspaper for a community. And if you look at 4 or 5 days of press for that community, you can pretty much put your finger on the pulse of what is driving that community as far as critical issues, the things that community values, and really any contentious things that are currently going on in the community that the local or state economic development person may not bring to your attention that your client should be aware of. And so checking out local newspapers is an inside secret that continues to work even today.
Jubal, that is a great secret. Of all the podcasts we've done so far, nobody has said that, but it really points to the importance of how our economic developers and communities are even working with local media to tell their stories. So good insight, great feedback. What are some of those issues, those key things that you keep hearing from your clients or companies today over and over? And maybe more importantly, what are some things that you think economic developers should be doing about it?
So labor continues to be the key for almost every project, whether it's manufacturing or headquarters or back office. I mean, even data center to an extent, even though they employ very few people, they still have to have skilled labor in the region. They may not directly employ the labor, but indirectly data centers use a lot of local labor in and around water and electrical needs and security and that sort of thing. So labor continues to be pretty much the number one component of any project. And a community and their ability to prove that they can supply labor, both quantity and quality, is always important. And sometimes that's very, very difficult to do because, you know, just as my newspaper example, we consultants have access to very sophisticated databases of labor all around the country. And those numbers are going to provide us insight in our site searches as to whether that labor exists. And so it's up to a community to either add to that or dispel incorrect data or misrepresented data from those databases that we utilize. And so I can't stress enough for communities to show, number one, what are their community colleges working on? How many people applied for a job when the local manufacturing plant had its latest posting? How many people are moving into an area? How many graduates are leaving the area? Really get their arms around those components of data. Number two would be take the mystery out of the cost of doing business in that community. What are your tax rates? Break that down for me. Property tax, real property tax, personal property tax, inventory tax, if any, sales tax. What's the state rate? What's the local rate? What are they applied to? What's the average cost of electricity in that town? Do you pay sales tax on electricity? Corporate income tax for that state, how is it broken out? What are the exemptions? Payroll taxes, you know, how do they compare? What is the cost of land? When I go into a community, a lot of economic development organizations just say, hey, we've got some affordable land. Well, what's the price? And they can't tell me price per acre and price per square foot. Show me the last 5 sales in this community. All of those things. Take the mystery out of the cost of doing business in that community. And then lastly, have the ability to answer questions efficiently and with speed. If you don't know the answer, find out the answer in 24 hours and get back. There's no excuse with all of the electronic tools that we have today around communication for me to send an email to a community and they say, well, they can't get me that answer because they're out of the office. Well, the office is no longer tied to our ability to communicate either with a cell phone or an email. You have to do it with speed. And sometimes that means walking out of a meeting, addressing an issue, and responding. So those are the three key issues that we come across on a weekly basis.
Those are all great pieces of practical advice. One of the things I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about is the marketing side. So that was all really good advice for maybe once the request for proposal has already hit the desks of those economic developers or communities. But what about on the front end? So when economic developers are trying to get their story out to you, what are some of those best marketing practices that you've seen that are really effective?
Yeah, so there's a lot of marketing that goes on both to companies, to consultants, general marketing. There are some really good cases out there, and then there's obviously some poor cases. At the end of the day, you know, just staying in touch consistently and tell us what's going on in their community. Celebrate your wins. For example, the state of Louisiana, I've done a lot of work there, and Louisiana has a really good biweekly email And it talks about the wins. And so when I see those wins, I get to categorize it by type of industry and so forth and so on. You know, those are very effective because then when I have a client that is similar to that, well, something must be going on correctly. So, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it's not really effective to tell me how affordable it is to do business there. If companies are expanding and locating to your area, then they have done that due diligence. So if you can communicate, if any city and state can communicate to me what is going on from an economic development standpoint, who's expanding, how much, what's the investment, what's the exact location, what is the product, why did they locate there, and communicate that to me, then that tells me that that company, which just didn't locate there, you know, without doing any due diligence, something is occurring there that makes it attractive for that type of company. And to me, that's a very effective way to market your area, is to communicate your wins and, more importantly, the details behind those wins.
Great, great insight. The last question that I want to ask you today, and we'll get you out of here with this, is if you could tell a room full of economic developers just one thing in closing, what would that be?
So understand the economics of your region and the region next door. And what I mean by that is, it's what I hit on earlier, what makes your local and state economy click? How do they make their money? What is the cost of doing business in that area? And then be prepared to compare it to the region next door. For example, if I go to Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, and I've got a project considering Birmingham, Alabama, I make them aware that their competition is Louisville, Kentucky, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Kansas City, Missouri. If you're in the local and state economic development business, it's going to be very easy for you to come forth with your incentive package, detail that incentive package, and detail other forms of cost of operating in your area and the other attributes, such as labor and logistics, that are good in Birmingham, Alabama. However, what economic development groups do not do is they do not research Kansas City, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Louisville, Kentucky to find out where they are better than those cities and where they are weaker than those cities and be able to address that. Now, sometimes the project doesn't give those competing locations, but in most cases they do. And when they do, they should take a deep dive on those cities to find out how do they make money, what's their cost, and they can do it. There's too many tools on the internet today to compare that. Once they know that information, then they can better represent their area and hopefully win the project. That would be my overall comment to any room full of economic developers.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. These were all really good insights, and I appreciate you taking the time to share your expertise with us. It is clear after speaking with you why you were selected to be one of North America's top 50 site consultants. So congratulations again on that award, and thank you.
Hey, very good, Amanda. Thanks a lot, and enjoy speaking with you.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.